As I share this podcast with you, I am overwhelmed by the amount of needs that Americans in particular at this time have. I recorded this podcast with two of my friends about Hurricane Harvey right after that had happened. And as we were recording the podcast, the news of all of the devastating wildfires in California and the West Coast were just coming to light. And now, as I'm recording this intro to go with this podcast to send to my podcast editor, Hurricane Irma is set to hit the United States pretty soon. By the time you listen to this, Hurricane Irma either will or will not have hit the United States, and this is how fast these emergencies are descending upon our country right now. I know this is an unusually busy hurricane season this year. And we've added in the fires in the West. And that's just what I know about the United States. There are all kinds of emergencies that are happening all around the world that I'm not seeing on my media. I don't watch TV. I don't listen to the news. All I do is on my iPhone. I scroll to the left and I look at what the news says is the top four stories of the day. That's all I do. I don't really watch news at all. What I know is that emergencies and emergency situations are a guarantee in life. You will not go through your entire life and not experience some kind of emergency. You may not experience a natural disaster, but you will experience some kind of emergency where you need to leave your house quickly, where someone needs you to come to their aid and advocate for their medical or financial needs. And at some point in your life, someone will probably have to do the same for you. They will need to know your medical history. They will need to know where your money is in order to best meet your needs for you. A few years ago, a friend and I put together the financial and medical organizing binders that you can get on Organize 365. And I created those as printables. And then this spring, my graphic designer turned them into editable PDFs, which means that when you download these files, they're full color files, they can be printed out and put in a binder and you use a pen to write all the information on that and keep it in a binder. That's what I plan on doing. Or you can download these documents to your computer and open them up and actually type the information right on the beautiful printable on your computer and save it as a digital file. I will probably do that second. I'm a very paper-pencil girl, so I will print them out, find all of the information, and then I will save it as an online document. What I thought about when I saw everything happening in the whole basic city of Houston underwater was that all of that important information that everyone is keeping in their filing cabinets, whether or not it's organized in the filing cabinets, cannot be carried out in the middle of a flood. All of those papers are ruined or gone, and all of the information on that paper is gone as well. So often we keep things in filing cabinets because that big packet of papers has two or three salient pieces of information on them that we need. So the financial and medical organizing binders help you pull that salient information onto one printable sheet, or it's a set of sheets, but one packet of papers, so that essentially all of the important information that's in your filing cabinet is on these printable pieces of paper. Then you could grab a 2-inch binder that has each family's medical history and all of your financial information in a binder. No, you won't have all of the actual physical documents, but you will know who has your insurance policy, what's the name of the company, what's their email contact, and what's your policy number. With that information, you can recreate whatever is in your filing cabinet. Also, in the financial organizing binder, a lot of the information is not even in your filing cabinet. When I needed to care for my father and then subsequently handle his estate after he passed, there's a lot of information that you need to know that is not on a piece of paper anywhere. What is your driver's license number? You have that information, but it's not in a filing cabinet. So part of filling out the medical organizing binder and the financial organizing binder is going on a scavenger hunt and finding all of your important information in order to keep it in one place. So yes, these are products that I sell. The medical organizer is $18 and the financial binder is $28. So together that is $46, right? Still haven't done the math. Pretty sure it's $46. But if you go to organize365.com/Harvey And by these two organizers there, 100% of that $46 is going to go to the Avondale School in Houston, Texas. So one of the things our family likes to do with our donations is to support special needs children. And the Avondale House in Houston supports the autistic community and other special needs children and adults in the Houston area. And I know that when tragedy strikes, that it is often the charitable donations in that area that rely on the generosity of others that stop receiving some of those extra funds because the need of the city is so great. I almost feel guilty that I've picked a place in Houston now that I know that there is so much need in California and most likely in Florida and on the East Coast by the time you're listening to this. But this is the partnership I've decided to do. I know that this will be a worthy cause. I know that you need to make these medical and financial binders for your family. I don't need to receive the money for it. So the money that you will be paying for these organizers that you and I both need to do, you'll hear in the podcast, I haven't even done mine yet. I'm printing it out today. I'm going to get it done. We never know when tragedy is going to strike, but we know it is eventually. So let's get prepared. Let's get these organizers, let's get them filled out, let's get our 2-inch binder ready with all of this stuff printed out. So if the inevitable happens and you need to have someone care for you, you need to care for someone else, or you need to leave your house in a hurry, you can grab this binder and know you have 90% of what you need in order to survive whatever emergency situation that you're in. That link again is organize365.com/Harvey. Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Today, I want to introduce you to an idea that I like to call the 24-hour rule. And I cannot believe I have not already covered this on a podcast. I thought for sure I had. And I went back and looked, and I've never told you about the 24-hour rule. I am so sorry. You are going to love this rule. At first, you're going to argue with me. Through this whole podcast, you're going to be like, there's no way. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. And by the end, you're going to think, maybe I could. And for sure, if I do follow the 24-hour rule, oh my gosh, will that free me up from so much. The 24-hour rule is going to free you up from all the things you should do and you could do and you might do and you want to do and someday this and someday that. We are going to get rid of all of the coulds and shoulds and woulds and somedays. And we are just going to focus on today. So let me tell you the 24-hour rule in a nutshell. The 24-hour rule is something that I developed for myself after I had been doing the Sunday basket for a few years. And what I found was a couple of the items that were in my Sunday basket would move and would stay there time and time and time again. And so the rule of the Sunday basket is that on Sunday, you empty the Sunday basket completely. You take absolutely every piece of paper, note to yourself, item that you've thrown in there, piece of mail, slash pocket out of the Sunday basket. And then you hold up every single item and you ask yourself one question. Can this wait until next Sunday? And if it can, it goes right back in the Sunday basket. At the end of your Sunday basket time, you have items left not in your Sunday basket that need to be acted on, that you need to do something with before next Sunday. Pay the bill, write the check, return the item, mail something, fix your kid's TV, whatever it is. Well, when I had been doing this for quite a while, what I noticed was I am an idea person. I've told you before, Dave Ramsey says I am the wow person. Wow, we could do this. Wow, we could do that. I am not the how person, like how is that going to work in the budget? You know, none of that detail stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, we could have Sunday baskets around the world. You know, I am the wow person. Well, the wow person in the relationship also has a lot of ideas, a lot of things that they could do and should do and want to do. someday. So my Sunday basket had so many slush buckets. I mean, so many slush buckets of all the things I could do and want to do and should do someday. And I found, because I am a Gen Xer and I did not grow up with the internet, a lot of my wow ideas were written down or cut out of newspapers or torn out of magazines or printed off of the internet. You know, I'll print off ideas and emails and all of these things. And after a while, I realized that I was drowning in my own ideas. And because I had a way to catalog them, put them in the Sunday basket and see them every single week, that as opposed to being able to act on them and implement them, I actually was just able to accumulate more and more and more ideas, not necessarily doing them. And I would get very overwhelmed. Kind of like I've told you about Pinterest. I don't like Pinterest. I don't go on Pinterest. I don't understand Pinterest. Because when I go on Pinterest and I start pinning things, I want to then do them. They become actionable items on my to-do list, and it's impossible for me to do them. So Pinterest frustrates me and overwhelms me. Well, I was frustrating and overwhelming myself in my Sunday basket as well with all of these printed out emails and things I'd torn out of magazines and all of these ideas I could do, should do, and want to do. And I finally decided that, especially as life is starting to move faster and faster, as a business owner, I know that I do not even plan 12 months in advance. I plan about 3 to 4 months in advance. And about every 9 months, I'm noticing 6 to 9 months, there are major industry changes that change how the future of business will be done. It is pointless for me to have a 3 or 5 year goal in my business because we don't even know what business is going to look like a year from now. Like, things are just changing too much. Well, even before this, as I was getting overwhelmed in my Sunday basket, I created the 24-hour rule. This was probably about 5 years ago. And at that time, I realized that pretty much whenever I wanted to buy something, research something, or just even get an idea, my go-to was to go to the internet, to Google it. Or if I wanted to know how to do something, I might search for a YouTube video. I no longer was looking through these curated binders I had created, these elaborate filing systems, or even email inboxes that I had created for myself. I never went there when I actually had a need to get a new idea or a new project. I always went to technology to research and see the latest and the greatest. Well, once I realized that that was the behavior that I had, I realized that I had to stop stockpiling ideas for I could, should, would, and someday in a physical location that I was looking at every single Sunday. Number one, it was wasting my time. And number two, it was demoralizing because I was seeing all of the ideas I had, but I was seeing them over and over and over again. And instead of being inspiring and motivating, it became, well, there's another thing you haven't taken action on. When are you going to put that on your to-do list? How are you going to get that accomplished with everything else? So the 24-hour rule got put into effect. And I said to myself, just like on Sunday, I say, can this wait until next Sunday? Now, when I find a great idea that I want to print out on the internet or something I want to tear out of a magazine or something someone tells me, I ask myself this one question. Can I do this within 24 hours? And I know you might say, oh my gosh, are you serious? Like, there's so many ideas I have. There's no way I could do them within 24 hours. And you're right. Like, there are books you want to read, recipes you want to try, vacations you want to take, that there is no way you could implement those in 24 hours. However, I'm going to challenge you. When was the last time you got an idea? I mean, a juicy idea, a juicy, you just wanted to dive right into it. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you've spent 2 hours on the internet researching this idea and you are way down the rabbit trail. You didn't have those 2 hours when you first got the idea. You delayed, deferred, or deleted something in order to spend 2 hours rabbit trailing down this idea on the internet. Now, when you were done with that 2 hours, you might have decided after that amount of research and dreaming and wow, this would be so cool to say, all right, but it's not going to be cool right now. But you did have time. You made time within 24 hours to flesh out that idea and decide if it was worth it or not. And what I have found as soon as I adopted this 24-hour rule is that if I really want to do something, if I really think it's going to be cool and move my business or awesome for my family or something I want to do for my house, I can almost always start to take action within 24 hours if I'm that moved by the idea. If it's something that's just kind of cool and maybe I'll do it someday, then what happens is I save it or I pin it or I print it, but I don't do any more, and then it just becomes guilt and something that I ultimately almost never take action on. If you find a recipe that is so good that you're like, oh my gosh, that recipe is awesome, and you print it out, if within 24 hours you will put it on your meal plan for next week and or go buy the ingredients, awesome. If it's a good recipe that you might want to try one day, don't even print it. I know, how mean is that of me to say to you? But once you really start thinking about this 24-hour rule, you will realize that I'm right. And the things that you don't even have time for when the idea is that good and that perfect, you will take immediate action on it. Now, I'm going to give you two examples of ideas that I had in the last couple weeks that I was able to start implementing within 24 hours, and the results were amazing. But if I had waited, I would have never taken action on either of them. And both of them are related to all of the craziness that's going on right now in the world with all of the tragedy. The first one was, as I was watching everything happen with Hurricane Harvey, I was... I spent so much time on the internet watching what was happening in Hurricane Harvey. I could have gotten probably an extra college class done. It was ridiculous. The amount of time I spent on my phone, I didn't even watch it on TV. I did it all on my phone, like watching. I would scroll over in my iPhone and I would look at whatever the news stories were in the Apple. And I finally realized that the Apple news really stinks. It's really not very good. So I would read through all of those. And then I would go over on Facebook, and the only person that I knew in Texas at the time was Betsy. So I would follow Betsy's story, and I was obsessive about it, kind of stalkerish. I'm sure you've done this before. So like every hour I would go and I would search Betsy's name and see if she had posted on anything, see what people had commented on her post, see if she had commented on her own comments, like stalkerish. Sorry, Betsy. I know you listen. It was crazy because I didn't know what to do. Like, I just could not believe basically the Hurricane Katrina was happening again, that like all these people were going to be stuck in their houses with all this flooding, because I don't have a reference point to flooding. Like, my brain cannot comprehend flooding. So it just, I would say a minimum of 10 hours that weekend watching everything that was happening with Hurricane Harvey. So I was like, what can I do? Like, there has to be some good I can do out of this. So I started Voxering Betsy, and then also the professional organizer that I know down in Austin, Texas, Ryan. I knew that she was close enough, but that she wasn't being flooded. And I was like, there's got to be something that I can do to help, which is when I came up with the idea of doing the fundraiser for Avondale House. And we've raised over $2,000, you guys. Just you buying your medical and financial organizers at the same price you would have paid anyway, that money is directly going to Avondale House, and they are so excited about it. So thank you so much for partnering with me on that. As I took action and I started talking to Betsy and Ryan, Hurricane Irma started forming. But I'd already taken action with Betsy and Ryan and put it on the calendar that we were going to record the podcast. So we recorded the podcast on Wednesday. I think the flooding had stopped on Sunday. But by then, Hurricane Irma was already like forming and going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I think one of the I had figured out there were fires that were happening in the northern part of the United States. So I saw that tragedy going on as well. And I started to get overwhelmed. I thought, well, I can't help the people in the earthquake and Hurricane Irma and the fire. So should I still do the Harvey thing? But I kept taking action. We had already talked to Avondale House. I already had the podcast being recorded. It was still a good thing. Even though I couldn't help everyone, at least we could come together and help the Avondale House. So we recorded that podcast. Then the ironic thing is, I know a lot of people in Florida. Like, I know a lot of people in Florida, like family, a lot of family, friends, colleagues, like, I don't know that many people in Texas, but I know a lot of people in Florida. Then the guilt set in. The Harvey podcast had not released yet, and Hurricane Irma was coming in. If you think I was obsessed with Harvey, you should have, oh my gosh, 20 hours probably, all about Hurricane Irma, where she was coming, what she was doing. Obsessive, ridiculous amounts of time. And I thought, I cannot believe I'm going to do a fundraiser for a school I haven't been to, which is an awesome school in Texas where I don't really go very often, when my family and friends live in Florida. Do I need to now do a fundraiser for Hurricane Irma? And the answer is no. No, I don't. Because I did what I could. I took action in my first, you know, I took action on Hurricane Harvey. I followed through on it. We're doing a fundraiser. We've raised this money. This is awesome. And then now, of course, I am totally obsessed with Hurricane Maria. I have a problem with hurricanes, you guys, and earthquakes. Natural disasters of all kinds really, really get me going. And I cannot honestly fathom this whole thing that's going on with Puerto Rico right now, where they've lost their entire electrical grid. Like, I can't comprehend that. So I'm saying to Greg, how do you rebuild an electrical grid without electricity? Okay, I guess you get a generator. But then how do you get the gas out of the ground to put in the machines that are going to clear that? Like, I can't even fathom it. So I said to my son in the car on the way to school, I'm like, do you know that Puerto Rico is out of electricity for like 4 to 6 months? He's like, okay. I'm like, how are they going to do that? And he just starts going, Mom, you just do X, Y, Z. And I'm like, yeah, but they don't have roads. They don't have this. He says, all right, well, ships, other countries. Like, he could start to take action. When I think about Puerto Rico, I am paralyzed. The whole country of Barbuda left. Like, the first time in 300 years that the island is completely uninhabited. 90% of the housing is destroyed. I think they'll probably come up with that same number for Puerto Rico. And they already have for one of the keys in the Key West, the one that my husband just went fishing to on Marathon, that one totally obliterated. I can't even comprehend. And how I feel about all of these islands being totally obliterated, all of the work that needs to be done, I'm completely paralyzed. But yet when I look at the pictures on TV, you don't see people in any of these areas just standing there staring at the cameraman. Watch. You know what you see? You see people riding their bikes through the water to get to somebody else, to carry someone to safety, to rip out all of the things out of their house, to move the debris. Like, they're taking action. They're doing stuff. I'm the one that's paralyzed. Okay, so the second example I can give you is that it seems like in my close circle of friends locally, there is a lot of tragedy happening. People are passing away, getting diagnosed with cancer, having major surgeries, losing their parents, and then their other parents are sick. And it just seemed like I heard of this so many people happening all at one time. And you guys know how much I do not like cooking, right? Like, I don't like cooking. I have a real mental block about it. We all know it. But I also know that when you are faced with a family tragedy, the last thing you want to do is cook, even if you're a good cook. Like, you just physically don't even have the time. And my mother-in-law has this amazing chicken cacciatore recipe, which is basically fancy spaghetti with chicken in it. It takes all day to make, but it's super good. I mean, like, I've never taken it to anybody where they didn't say, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Because of course, it's not my recipe. It's my mother-in-law's. She's an amazing cook. So, and my husband loves it. So I thought, okay, it's really, really easy to double, triple, quadruple the chicken cacciatore recipe I have. And the chicken cacciatore recipe I have easily feeds 8 to 10. So I thought, all right, I will 2.5 times this recipe, and I'm going to take it to all my friends who could use a meal. You would not believe how much it blesses people to take them a meal. Like, there is a reason why things happen over breaking bread, like religious things, business things. Like, when you share a meal together, when you connect with people, when you provide physical food to people, it is so comforting, nourishing, hospitable. It's just so many things. So I can't cure cancer. I can't drive people to doctor's appointments. I can't do so many things for my family and friends. But I was able to take one Sunday and make a meal that blessed multiple, multiple families. It was an idea I got when I saw all this tragedy going on around me. I was able to take action within 24 hours. I put everything I wanted on the to-do list for Greg to take at the grocery store. And then 24 hours after that, I spent the whole day cooking. And then the next week, over three different days, I delivered all of the meals. So within 7 days, I was able to take action and finish that. Now, why am I going into these examples for you? Because I think the real life examples about how we do this is what is most meaningful. I am not going to lie. Your to-do list, if I were to say, okay, I'm going to take your family away, all your work obligations, I'm going to leave you in your house, and I'm going to give you 10 days to yourself. All your meals are going to be delivered too. Like, you don't even have to cook, and you're allowed to work on your to-do lists for 10 straight days. You know what you would have at the end of those 10 days? Longer to-do lists. I know, it's so depressing, but it's true. As soon as you knock things off of your to-do list, other things come on your to-do list, because it's not a to-done list. It's a to-do list, and it's never going to end. These to-dos that you have are never going to end. I am not saying that to depress you. I am saying that to snap you into reality. You are not one day going to magically wake up with a to-done list and have the whole day to yourself. It's never going to happen. And the reason why I say it's never going to happen is because we need to live more realistic lives. We need to prioritize the things that are the most important to us. And we need to enjoy every day. Instead of going, oh, if I can get through all of these things, then I'll enjoy tomorrow. You know what? It's never going to happen that way. You have to enjoy today, which is why I say to only have three big rocks, three big things that you want to get done each day. And the number one response I get is, you've got to be kidding me. Does laundry count? Because I have to do laundry. Yes, laundry counts. So if you spend a whole day doing laundry and that's one of your three, then you'll be able to do something else on a different day. And I will be expounding on this more. I'm going to go into how Dan Sullivan talks about 10Xing your time and how he has really changed the three big things he does each day. I've been following him a lot this year, and it's really a lot of what he says I'm already doing, but he's stretching me to do even more, and it's really important. As you get organized, as you start making a Sunday basket, if you've made a Sunday basket, okay, if you listen to the podcast and this is more than the third episode you've listened to and you haven't made a Sunday basket, I want you to email me and tell me why, because I know a lot of you listen to the podcast for years and then you finally do the Sunday basket. So if you don't know what the Sunday basket is, it is in episode 101 is the Sunday basket. And I've already also made it episode 1. So it's episode 1 and 101 of the podcast is the basics of the Sunday basket. And the Sunday basket is becoming its own movement, basically. You can go to thesundaybasket.com and learn all about it. And if you click on Organization 101, it will tell you all of the steps of the Sunday basket. You can also sign up for a virtual Sunday basket class with me there and do your Sunday basket with me in a 90-minute online class, which is super, super fun. But for those of you who have done the Sunday basket, I want you to really think about it. Doing the Sunday basket was not easy, and you did have to take time from something else in order to get the Sunday basket done, right? Like, to make a Sunday basket, on average, usually takes about a weekend, a good 6-hour chunk of time, I would say. You could break that up over a couple of days to collect all the paper, get rid of the stuff you don't need, and get down to what should really be in a Sunday basket. And then after you make a Sunday basket, it takes about 4 to 6 weeks of using it every week to really get going on your Sunday basket. And many people tell me that it's after they go to a virtual Sunday basket class or one of the in-person Sunday basket classes with the licensed providers that it clicks. They're like, oh, you take everything out of the Sunday basket. Oh, that's how you use Slash Pockets. It really takes your Sunday basket to the next level. So once you've been doing your Sunday basket about 4 to 6 weeks, you really should go to a class. Even though you think you know what the Sunday basket is, you're going to get deeper into how the Sunday basket works. Okay, jump ahead. For those of you who have been doing the Sunday basket for 2 months, I want you to really think, do you have more time in your week? And I'm going to bet the answer is yes. And where did that time come from? I can tell you exactly where that time came from. That time came from all the time you used to spend worrying about things getting done and looking for what you need to do next. Where's that bill I need to pay? Did I mail that card? Where is that return? I cannot find that return. Did I send that note to someone? What was it that I wanted to get on Amazon? There was something I wanted to get on Amazon. I can't remember what it was. But when you have a Sunday basket, you write down what you want to get on Amazon, you put it in the Sunday basket, and then on Sunday, you order it. And there's just a flow. And as soon as you start using the Sunday basket for a couple of months, you naturally just start writing down all of your ideas and dumping them into the Sunday basket. You have a routine weekly time when you go through everything that's going to be errands next week, go through all the bills that need to be paid, put everything on the calendar that needs to be added to the calendar, plan out your week. No, it doesn't take 10 minutes. It usually takes probably an hour. I should do a post to see how long it takes people to do their Sunday basket. I would say it takes me about an hour each week. Some weeks it takes 2 hours. Some weeks I get it done in 30 minutes. But probably an hour a week is what it takes me to keep up on all of that stuff. Even with that time that you spend doing the Sunday basket, you gain time in your week because everything is done in 1 hour on Sunday, not in little bits of time throughout the week. Okay, one more point I want to make to this. There is a concept out there that has been proven, which is called task switching. I know I've talked about that in an older podcast. So when you task switch, when you switch from doing one thing to another thing, what happens is it actually takes your brain a certain amount of time to switch over to whatever the new thing is. So for example, there is not a big task switching switch from doing laundry to dishes to emptying the groceries. Okay, those are easy things. You can switch from one task to the other. You don't lose much momentum. But if you are editing a paper and then you go check your email, it takes you a minute to go, okay, I'm in email. Who's this email from? What was the email we just sent? Oh yeah, okay, she's responding to this. Okay, I need to respond back to her. Then you go back to your editing. You go, okay, what was the thought I was having? How far am I in this editing? What paragraph am I in? Okay, yeah, I remember where I am. And all of that, oh, where was I? That can take up to 20 minutes. Did you realize that? Like, up to 20 minutes to figure out where the heck you were when you got distracted. Yeah, it's bad. We shouldn't be so distracted. So what the Sunday basket does is it puts all your mail, bill paying, putting things on the calendar in one time during the week. So instead of looking at the mail, wondering, does this bill have to be paid this week, next week? It can wait. Okay. Doing that every single day to doing that once a week, you get a ton of time. All right, we're trying to gain time and we realize our to-do lists are never going to be done. So the next step is then to go ahead and put all your, wow, this would be an awesome idea, into your Sunday basket. And then when you go through your Sunday basket, by Sunday, half of the ideas I have are no longer, wow, they're like, what the heck was I thinking? And I throw those out. And some of them are like, that's still kind of interesting. I'll leave it in here for another week. And a few of them are like, yep, I'm ready to take action on those. So on Sunday is when I look at all those wow ideas that I had and decide which ones do I want to take action on in 24 hours. If I want to take action on them within 24 hours, I go ahead and I do so. If I don't, then I have two options. One, I can just throw it away, which I often do. Or two, I can defer it to my next 100 days. I did not realize I did that until I got ready for this podcast. So I've never said this before. I never realized it before. Just like this 100-day program that I'm leading you through, if you're in the program of organizing the house in 100 days, I realize that I go through my wow ideas every about 100 days. That's when I look at all the ideas I've had, and I decide what are the things I'm going to take action on in the next year of my life. You know how I divide my year into 3 years. So right now I'm recording this as we're in the fall year. Right now everything is about the Sunday Basket licensing program. I just revamped the whole online training portal. I created a business boot camp that's going to be quarterly. I am flying to meet with a manufacturer for the Sunday Basket. I got the patent pending for the Sunday basket. I'm talking to a podcast producer about having a second podcast starting January 1st. Guess what it might be called? All of these things are happening because all I'm focused on right now is the Sunday basket workshops, because I know you like listening to this podcast. You're at the end of the podcast, so I'm going to assume you like listening to the podcast. You tell me you like listening to the podcast. You tell me it is an answer to prayer. You tell me you feel like I'm your best friend. I am your best friend, by the way. You tell me it's easier to organize anything, even if I am talking about something totally unrelated. If I just keep talking about organizing, you are able to keep organizing the things in your house. And I got the biggest compliment today. Someone said that they were in the 100-day program, and they said, you know what I love about it is I've been trying to get organized for 10 years. And they said, but you tell me to organize my kitchen counter. I don't want to do it. You keep telling me I have to do it. And then 3 days later in the program, you say, now, aren't you glad you did that? Because we need this organized in order to do this next step. She said, the way you tell us to organize our house in order in these steps builds on itself. So I'm actually finally getting organized. And I know the 100-day home organization program works for getting people's homes organized. And I know the Sunday basket works for getting your daily paper organized. But I also know that beyond the Sunday basket, for paper organization, you actually need somebody physically in your city to help you. So if you have even remotely thought about being a Sunday basket license provider, it's not open right now. Registration's not open right now. But I want you to really consider it the next time it is open. It'll be open in a few weeks. Get on the wait list. Look at everything I have to offer. See if you could be a resource in your city for people getting their paper organized. Don't worry, I'll teach you everything you need to know. But the first step is the Sunday basket. And after that, we need to be in a community of people who are looking to get their paper organized. So my question to you is, what is something that you can do in the next 24 hours after hearing this podcast? Or what is something that is sitting in your Sunday basket, sitting on your to-do list, sitting in your email inbox, and you're like, oh, I should do this. I could do this. I want to do this someday. And I challenge you to delete it. Delete the email, throw away the printout, just get rid of it and lighten your load. There is only so much you can do. There's just one of you. And there is only so much you can do in your day. And I really, really, really want you to be able to use some of your free time for whatever you want to use it for. I like to use it for watching TV, taking a nap, reading a book, or obsessing over hurricanes I can do nothing about. But it's my time to do what I want with, and so I get to use it or lose it however I want to. But I would rather be doing that than stuck in piles of laundry and recipes I could, should, or maybe would want to do someday. So be ruthless. I want you to go over to that to-do list and I challenge you to cross off 25% of it. Just cross it off as in like it's not getting done and it's not getting put on another list. Go through your email inbox. Delete 10 emails. Just delete them. I'm not even going to reply. I'm not doing this. I don't want to. No, thank you. Thank you for offering. Take back your life. And the next time you get an idea or you see something that would be really cool to implement, I give you permission to ask yourself, can I start to take action on this within 24 hours? And if the answer is no, let it go. But without guilt, because you know what? The things that you're supposed to do, the things that you want to do, the things that will rise to the top, they don't come by just once. Almost always, when I'm supposed to really do something or I really want to do something, it comes at me 3 times within 24 hours. If I'm supposed to really take action on something, I'll maybe see it in Facebook. I'll also get an email and then randomly somebody who comes by me will talk about the same thing. And then I go 1, 2, 3, I have to take action on this. Everything else can wait or come around another day. Or if you let it go and then you're like, darn it, I really wanted to make that tortilla soup. Just Google it. Google's there for you. Have a great week.